Good morning. It's 11:06 and time for the Dr. Triana Show. This is a live medical talk show in which we encourage you to call in with your questions and comments. The phone lines are open at 206-1580. That's 941-206-1580 or toll free at 888-441-1580. And now your host of the program, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
And good morning. Good morning, everyone. You know, Zane, I'm just looking at your T-shirt. It says Got Radio.
I'm very proud of this T-shirt because it has all five of our stations on the back of it.
Oh, I got to get one of those.
Yeah, it's cool.
Okay. And I have some incredible guests today, and I want to thank everybody for listening. And what a great season. I mean, we have whatever your religion is, whatever your spirit is, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas. I tell my patients, happy Santa Claus, happy food.
We've got everything but a white Christmas.
Yes. And we have today Carol Katz. Thank you so much.
Good to be here again.
Yes, it's wonderful. And Dr. Katzen's here. And we have Zane and yours truly, Dr. Triana. And as you all know, we changed the name of the show.
Right.
Right?
Right. I think it was important, even after the number of years we've been on, not everybody is sure what a lipid is. And you've tried hard.
Well, I think more people know. But we also know that most people know who I am, or hopefully they will know who I am, and how they all know that one of my missions in life is to help every one of you understand your health and your body. So,
well, another good reason to change the show is that the practice is changing a little bit, too. When you'll tell people more about that.
We'll tell more people about that. So, as you know, this is a live call-in radio talk show, and today we have an incredible guest. But before we start with our guest, we are going to do a what body part am I? So if you can guess what body part am I, don't forget to call in. So what body part am I? I am replaceable. I am injured by UV light, which makes me stiff and cloudy. I can be changed to a new one, so therefore I can see Santa Claus. What body part am I? So everybody call in if you can guess. And, you know, as I said before, I had a patient goes, oh, do I win a prize? You win the pleasure of knowing that you guessed the right body part. So let's start with our guest. And everybody think about it, 206-1580. We're really lucky today to have someone who has so much experience. She's a psychotherapist, a certified addiction professional with over 25 years of experience. And, oh, we got a caller. Hello, caller.
Hello. Good morning, Dr. Triana.
And who is this, sweetheart?
This is Marion from Venice, Florida.
Hi, Marion. Thank you for calling.
I'd like to guess the body part.
Sure, sweetheart. What is it?
Is it the eye? The cataract will come out and you'll replace it with a fresh implant?
It's the lens. Yes, you got it. You got it. Yay!
And I won knowing.
Give yourself a little gold star, sweetheart.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you, and I love your show.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you. Hello, caller. Hello, caller? Are you still there? Okay, I guess they didn't want to hang on. You know, sometimes it's like feast or famine. We get a rash of calls. Sometimes we have no calls. So if you have to wait a little, don't give up. You know, don't lose patience. So we are going to talk today with Carol Katz about holiday stress. Carol, talk to us about yourself a little first.
Well, as you said, Dr. Triana, I've been a psychotherapist for about 25 years, and my specialty is addictions. And addictions is quite stressful. To be addicted is a stressful experience, and for the people dealing with someone addicted is a very stressful experience, sometimes even more.
We have a caller, Carol.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Hello, caller. Yes, hi.
Hi, this is Madeline. I'm calling to give you the answer. It's cataracts.
Wonderful. It's the lens. Thank you, Madeline. Have a wonderful holiday. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. And everything else.
Thank you. Same to you.
God bless you, sweetheart. Thank you for listening. And as you know, Carol, sometimes we get lots of calls. Sometimes we have no calls. But you're talking to us about the stress. Holiday stress.
And I was thinking last night about a title for the show, because we spoke a little bit of the healing heart. I know you're reading a book about the healing heart or the wounded heart.
No, healing heart.
Well, I guess a healing heart is a wounded heart. Otherwise, it wouldn't need to heal.
Very good.
So the holiday time for many people is very stressful. And what's supposed to be a joyous time, for many people, they have anxiety around the holidays, whether it's due to family or finances or health. So we go into the holidays hoping it's wonderful and pleasurable. And for many people, though, it isn't, and it's sad or stressful. And what does that do to the heart? The heart that wants to feel love, wants to feel comfort, it wants to feel unity with others, many times doesn't. So the stress that's created and how it affects different organs and in the body by releasing, stress releases adrenaline.
Right.
We know it releases cortisol, and how that affects so many parts in the body. Causes inflammation.
Yes.
In various parts. And we spoke about in the workshop I did recently called The Meditative Mind.
Which I attended, and it was great.
Thank you.
It was really great. And it was packed. You had a sold out crowd.
Yes. It was really wonderful. And it was at a yoga center in Punta Gorda. And we spoke about the various things that stress does to the body, if you remember.
Yes.
And
vasoconstriction, the heart rate goes up. It affects your muscles. It affects your blood vessels. They, in this book that we were talking about, it's called Healed Your Heart, Dr. Michael Miller. And I'm very happy to say he is going to be a guest on the show also.
Wonderful.
He's in Maryland and wrote a book, which you can get on your Kindle. Now, I'm such a bookworm. I love books, but I also love on the Kindle. And so what you were talking about is so real, and we're now starting to accept it. A lot of people are starting to say, yes, stress does affect your health. You know, people try to put things into compartments, but they're all interconnected.
Mm-hmm. Body, mind, spirit.
Right.
And we know also that stress can affect digestion. It can affect sleep. A lot of people suffer from insomnia due to stress. It can affect even places like the back or the neck or the shoulders, where we hold tension in the body, or muscle cramps, headaches.
Well, then how do people who are who work in stressful situations learn to handle that stress so that they can have a healthy life?
Well, you know, it's interesting because in my profession as an addiction professional, a lot of people burn out in that profession. And people would often say to me throughout the years, how do you do it? It has to be so stressful. And I would always say, when I am at work, I do my best. And then I leave work. Like, I don't take it home with me. Sometimes I would, but for the most part, I leave it at work knowing I've done my best. That's all I can do.
Right.
So I think that has helped me throughout the years not to burn out at my job. And when you're doing your job, just come from a place of just knowing or believing you're doing your best. And if you don't believe it, try to do better. And there are ways to relieve stress when you leave work. People exercise. I'm a great believer in yoga, meditation. And
but there's a lot of research backing the benefits of both yoga, meditation, and what the emotions do on your health. Dr. Miller brings up that after a natural disaster, after an earthquake, there is more heart attacks. Mm-hmm. The incidence increases of heart attack and strokes. And how many people who apparently look very healthy and are leading. Remember, we've always spoken about the cornerstone is diet, exercise, good health. So people who may look apparently healthy, all their numbers may look good, and all of a sudden will have a major heart attack. Mm-hmm. Because we know, again, what you were talking about, the stress causes inflammation. Inflammation affects the lining of your vessels. The plaque builds up. You get a heart attack. So in your profession, I could see where you have many, many people who are under a lot of stress, and then they are trying to alleviate that stress with habits that may not be good.
Correct. Because when we abuse anything, to whatever degree we abuse it, we know that's what we're doing. And knowing we're not doing the best for ourselves, even though it may have become an unhealthy behavior already, knowing we're doing the best for ourselves creates stress in itself, even though we may be doing a behavior to relieve stress. Right. Because we have that self-awareness, it's not healthy for us, we're adding stress to that as well.
Hello, caller. What's your name?
My name is Elliot.
Hi, Elliot. What's your question?
I have a question for the panel, and the question is as follows. Why is it that 30 years ago, we never heard of really stress as an issue or a causative factor of so many conditions, and now stress is earmarked into causation of a lot of different things? So how have we changed in these years so that the stress is now problematic?
That's a great question. Thank you so much for calling, Elliot.
I think people are busier now. And also, because we're busier, people tend to multitask a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we think by multitasking, we're accomplishing more in that moment because we're doing all these different things. But I really believe that multitasking creates more stress. And I think it serves not to strengthen the mind. Because when the mind is scattered, which is really what multitasking is, we're not one-pointed. We're not focused.
That's a good point.
And
yeah.
The one-pointedness strengthens the mind, which is what we talk about as far as techniques for meditation, whether it's focusing on your breathing, focusing on a flame, focusing on a mantra. All those things create one-pointedness to create a discipline and strengthen the mind. So these days when everyone's multitasking, the mind is more scattered. And I think a scattered mind is also a stressed mind.
And less productive. That's a great, you have any other questions, Elliot? Thank you. I guess Dr. Katzen.
Well, even Freud was pretty much aware about how the mind affected the body, because he was dealing with his patients. Some of his patients had very strange neurosis. They had some sort of paralysis. The scientific basis of the chemistry that we know today was not developed at that time. So even before we had good chemistry, so to speak, there was an awareness amongst some people, like Freud and others, about the effect of the mind on the body, different parts of the body, as well as the heart.
Well, there's a whole new field now called behavioral cardiology. And again, with the research, they're studying not just, you know, they're doing more physiologic studies to see what is the effect, what is at the level of the cell, the level of the brain. With the more we know, I think this is supporting more of the hypothesis people thought. Well, yeah, we know stress is bad for you, but how is it really bad for you? What are we really seeing at the physiologic level? We all know that if you get, how many times you get stressed out and you get nauseous, some people get nauseous, they get diarrhea, they have to run to the bathroom 10 times. They get sweaty. We know that happens. Or someone has a terrible anger. Dr. Miller talks about in his book, people get so angry that all of a sudden, boop, they'll pass out. And the physiological effect. But I think what you're saying is so correct. People are always distracted. Hello, caller?
Hi, this is Elliot again. I want to follow up on another part of my question.
Yes, Elliot.
Okay. I want to know why, in addition to the stress in the last 25 years that's been raising, do you ever notice that more and more people carry around water in little plastic bottles and drinking it? So what is the connection between that? I'm just wondering if you scientists have ever come to conclusion about that.
Well, that's a good question. Do you know of any studies about that?
Well, I have my own theory, and that is based upon the fact that we eat a lot of processed and chemicalized food, so therefore we're thirsty and we drink more. But that's just a theory. It certainly is not proven. But I do see, for an example, in the local Publix, more people buying processed prepared foods than they used to cook at home. And I know myself that when my wife and I go out to eat, there are certain restaurants we stay clear of because we get extremely thirsty after having that food. So that means that there's either a lot of salt or there's a lot of chemicals that the food that is being served is how it's prepared. My mother never put too much chemicals in anything, and I don't remember the water bottle.
Bottle.
We're also talking about hydrating. Everyone speaks about hydrating more, which addresses what you're saying as far as people walking around with water bottles more. So, and I think a lot of people do eat more processed foods, and that also ties into people leading busier lives.
Yes.
More stressful lives, so they don't avail themselves the time to sit and prepare meals and eat healthier, and eat more relaxed. You know, I always say my kitchen is the best restaurant in town because I know the food is always good, the service is always good, the atmosphere is always good, and it's relaxed. You know, it's not healthy to eat in unrelaxed environments. Well, so if you get a bad waitress or someone really tense that's serving you this food, how are you relaxed eating it? And that causes stress, and that causes constriction in digestive processes, right?
Yes.
You know, it's amazing how it all ties in. We think, we're a more affluent society, so people eat out more. But is that really a relaxed environment to digest in?
Hello, caller.
Hi, this is Elliot. Could you ask that lady who's talking now?
Elliot, this isn't your show.
Ask her what?
What was that, Elliot?
This is Elliot again. I want to come to your kitchen. It sounds like you're a good cook.
I am, and so is my husband. Okay, Elliot, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Well, I'm not that great of a cook, unfortunately.
One other thing that you have to remember, 30 years ago, there were 2 billion people on this earth. Now we have probably close
2 billion in India.
We have close to 7 billion people on this earth. They have to eat every day, or some of them have to eat every day. Some of them don't eat every day. So the scientific community has created ways of making food grow more efficiently, both animal food and plant food. And in so doing, they've changed the basic structure of that food. Like, for instance, the wheat we eat today from bread is nowhere like the wheat our grandfathers ate, or the rye,
or the poultry.
Right, and the poultry, right? And as well as the beef, the cattle. I mean,
how about the turkey for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, right.
Well, I think
not only that, and then after we get finished growing something, whether it's an animal or it's a grain or something like that, we find a way to preserve it. Right. Well, then we eat that preservative.
And also, they're putting so many more chemicals in the food that animals eat,
right?
And hormones to make them bigger and fatter quicker.
I mean, the natural history of those animals has been changed too, because their health has been studied and treated. Like, we don't see brucella. You know, when I first came here to Punta Gorda in the late 60s, in the early 70s, we had a epidemic of brucellosis amongst the Florida cattle.
Oh, wow.
Well, and there was a quarantine about moving cattle from one county to the other. And if you took a cow out of your ranch, you had to have permission from the state to move that cow to the marketplace.
Okay, that's interesting.
So that brucella is a little bit like tuberculosis, and so that's been eliminated completely. So those animals that are grown to eat, we have more of them to feed more people.
And I think we're ready for our little break. But before we go to our break, remember, we're going to speak more about what can you do for your holiday stress.
You're listening to The Dr. Triana Show, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. We encourage you to visit their brand new website, which is TrianaPreventionCenter.com. Once again, that's TrianaPreventionCenter.com. Dr. Triana is accepting new patients currently and will ask the doctor to give her phone number out in just a little bit. In the meantime, if you'd like to call our program, our number is 1-800-1888-441-1580 or 206-1580. Back in a moment right after this.
Hi, this is Dr. Triana from the Dr. Triana Show. So you'd like to feel younger? We cannot turn back the clock, but I can help you age better. The process is simple. After a thorough medical evaluation, including measuring your hormones, and with diet and exercise, we can balance your hormones so you can feel more vital. Call me at the Triana Prevention Center, 941-625-1990, or listen to me on WCCF AM.
It's 11:29 here at News Radio 1580 WCCF, and now back to Dr. Triana, Dr. Katzen, and Dr. Carol Katz.
And we are so happy to have Zane here at the board with his Got Radio t-shirt on.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. And this has been a great program. And we've been speaking about holiday. There are many different type of holidays going on now, including end of year, Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Merry Christmas. All this is going on. And there's a lot of expectations that family and people have. And also, I think another, it isn't just expectations. The expectation is that you're going to be with your family, see your family, and it's going to look like a Leave It to Beaver moment.
Right. The Brady Bunch.
The Brady Bunch. But what happens when it doesn't happen?
Right. a lot of disappointment, unfulfilled expectations, which
food fights.
Food? No. No, I've never had that. No. That's a good idea, though. That could be fun.
Well, we have an older population here in Charlotte County, and you know, some people lose their mate. Right. And it must be a very stressful time for them around this holiday time.
Well, there are churches that have dinners where you can go have dinners. And I know, like, for example, one of my patients, she went, and some people do this. They're alone, and they go to either the Homeless Coalition or to one of the churches to serve meals or help make a meal, giving of themselves in the spirit of you give, and they get back that good feeling.
Right. I think all the churches, probably all the churches are having something.
Hello, and caller.
Hi, you're on with Dr. Triana.
Good morning. You know, with depression, anxiety, part of the problem is the misdiagnosis in the doctor's office.
Correct.
You know, what are they eating? What are they drinking? How are they sleeping? Have they had a traumatic episode in their life?
Yes.
I think most doctors aren't very holistic, so they focus in on one point rather than what you just said, really evaluating what does one eat in the evening or drink in the evening before bedtime? Are they eating or drinking sugared stuff or having caffeine, which can affect sleep? You know, what are they eating?
Are they exercising?
To look at people holistically and see exactly.
I mean, they're quick to give them a pill. You know, take this and, you know, that'll make you sleep. And then in the morning, take another pill to get you through the day.
And I think people need to advocate for themselves more.
Absolutely.
To say, I don't want to take a pill. And also to research for themselves alternative ways, like maybe meditation or a group that does outdoor activities and go for a walk.
Or a hobby. Join, you know, do something if you have a hobby. Right. Join that club, that group that with like-minded people. That's very...
Your chemicals in your body. Check your blood levels. And
right.
I mean, it's so many things, but we're just so quick to... You know, my mom suffered for a long time. It wasn't until she finally got to a good doctor and got her off all that junk that, you know, she's living a good life now. She's not, you know, running around with anxiety and depression. Some of the things actually were making her worse.
And sometimes people will feel anxiety because of a situation that's happened in their life or a time of year like the holidays. And it doesn't mean that anxiety is forever. So sometimes people do need to go on medication for short periods of time to get them through a difficult episode that's happening for them, whether it's severe anxiety or depression or some health issue like high blood pressure.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that they need to stay on it for long periods of time. And unfortunately, a lot of times they're not taken off of it. And
my daughter suffers a little anxiety and panic attacks from time to time. And, you know, that was the first thing, let's get her on a pill. But she's 19 years old. She's learned some techniques now, breathing things that she does.
Right.
And she, when they're coming on, she's able to work through it. And within a, you know, a good 5-10-minute period, it passes.
That's great. That's great.
That's
she
really
has that
great
technique.
Well, we live in a very difficult social economic time for medicine at this time.
Let me thank you, caller. Thank you for listening to the show.
I can just say something about depression, which I've really suffered with my entire life. I have what's called dysthymia. So, and I'm sure you know what that is. When I lost my mom and dad, I lost my mom in 98 and lost my dad in 2009. Immediately, I thought my parents would not want me to sit around and be depressed. I've got to do something. So I started working on myself. Mm-hmm. Went to the gym, just threw myself into my workouts. I mean, really good, you know, vigorous exercise, that kind of thing. Plenty of water, healthy eating. And there's no medical, and I'm not offering medical advice. I'm just saying what worked for me. I started taking a natural supplement called St. John's wort. It works for me.
And also, as you do those things like exercise and eat better, you're also going to feel better about yourself, which helps to bring a person out of a low-grade depression or a severe depression or anxiety. You know, we have to, there's a saying, move a muscle, change a thought. So if we just stay in a state that's really uncomfortable, probably it'll just keep deepening rather than doing something to help move and improve ourselves.
And Dr. Katzen, you were saying about these times, they are.
Right. People have a complaint. They go and see their physician. They're lucky if they see their physician for 5 or 10 minutes.
Right.
I mean, or they may not even see a physician. They may see a nurse practitioner. I'm not taking anything negative about nurse practitioners, but there's not enough time in the day to explore the holistic aspects of what we're talking about. And that's really unfortunate. And one of the things that's happening is that I'm seeing is that those people who are on a budget for their health care, serious budget for their health care, they'll assign the Medicare benefits to an HMO.
Okay.
And so that HMO then regulates the availability of health care tools to that patient. So the patient goes to the doctor, has a complaint. The doctor writes a prescription because he only has 5 minutes to talk to that patient. But no one is even looking as to the cause of that complaint.
But there are holistic practitioners out there that will take an assessment of the entire person, not just the body, but the person.
Oh, no question.
And also, you know, we talk about holidays as the spirit of the holiday.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people that come to me that are just entering early recovery will often say, well, I'm not a spiritual person, so I don't know, you know, about this, because some 12-step programs are spiritually based.
Right.
And I would often say to them, which I think I mentioned even in my workshop, that if you go outside and just look up at the sky or look at some clouds or go to the water and look at the waves or, you know, hear a bird chirping in the morning and really be in the present moment with that. To me, that's a spiritual moment. It's like
connecting.
You're connecting with nature. You're connecting with simplicity, because a lot of our lives are not simple. So if we take that moment over and over again throughout the day to really connect in a very simple way with something just like a bird chirping and the beauty of that, then it helps bring us out of our anxiety or out of depression for that brief moment. And we just keep building those moments so we can be more in the joy of the holiday.
Positive emotions.
Positive emotion
that
we have to create. We have to do that for ourselves, because it can't come from the outside. It really has to. It's an inside job. We have to create our own state of minds. So for the holidays, which are stressful for many people, you know, a lot of, like Mel said, older people aren't around their families, or they've lost a significant other, a spouse. It's lonely. So how do we reach out, or how do people reach out to the lonely people? Not just them reaching out, but people reaching out to people that are lonely.
I think that's really very important, because there's so many people that no one even shakes their hand.
Right.
There's no touching, you know, no pat on the back, and they are lonely. And it's hard
to feel compassion for people that are not only lonely, but kind of the downtrodden, because they're having a hard time in life. You know, a lot of people aren't having easy times in life. And to feel compassion for them and to be gentle with those people.
But I think also, like you said, it doesn't come from the outside. So if you feel there's so many great organizations that need volunteers, they need help. When you give to someone else, that feeling comes back 10 times. Right. That good feeling, right, Dr. Katzen?
Right.
And you see that. We see that with our patients. The patients who are involved, who are giving to the community, maybe working at a homeless shelter, maybe working at their church, working in their... We've had guests here, the Corral. You know, the Corral, they sing in the Corral. They have a camaraderie. Mm-hmm. It's good for their health. They get involved with their church.
Or even working at the animal shelter. Yeah.
Right, the animal shelter. Or all these.
The veterans.
You know, you don't have to stay home and feel like you're alone in the world, because we are not. Right. We need to connect with others.
I think being a hermit is not human. There are some hermits.
And that's a good thing.
I like being alone.
I think humans are hurting individuals. In other words, that they like to have a sense of community about them. So if people get lonely or whatever, they need to reach out and find something, some organization, some activity where they have somebody else who likes the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
And that'll make their days pass, and it'll improve their whole outlook.
And even for people who work, a lot of people get into the, oh, I get up, I go to work, I feel like my life is just get up, go to work. And I said, you've got to incorporate something for you, time for you. Patient tells me, I've given my whole life to my family, especially with women. They haven't gone to see a doctor. They haven't gone to get their mammograms or any tests done because they've been giving all to their family. Well, I think a good thing to say is I need to spend at least a few minutes a day for me.
And sometimes you have to wake up earlier to do that. For people that have young children, I know I don't have children in the house, but I have two dogs. And as soon as I wake up, those dogs want my attention and they need to go out or they need to eat. And I'm the type of person where in the morning when I get up, I like to be quiet. You know, I spent a lot of years in an environment, in an ashram, where in the, you know, silent time for hours in the morning. So I like that quiet time. And yet I have two dogs that as soon as they see me wrestling in the bed, they want to get out and go. So I have to get up earlier, which I don't always, but to create that time for ourselves, sometimes that's what we need to do, to get up before the kids get up. And it's a beautiful time of day, too, when it's quiet. You know, maybe you'll hear a few birds chirping as they're waking up. You know, it's like the world hasn't woken up yet. And it's a really special time of the day.
Well, I love when I come home and my little dogs are so happy and their little tail wags. I told my husband, I want a little tail for Christmas. Because they're always so happy, their little tail, you know.
Want that doggy in the window?
Yeah, that doggy. Remember, how much is that doggy in the window? And it just gives me, I just look at them and they're so cute. And I smile and I go out and I see our beautiful orchids in bloom. And I'm going, oh, it just makes you feel so good. And then you look at the little doggies, they're so happy, you know, with their little tail. I mean, how could you not feel good? I'm an animal lover. I love animals. I know you love animals too. And it's just such a pleasure. Such a pleasure.
But, you know, for the people that aren't around joyful people or have joyful experiences, or if they're around people that are hurtful in their lives and they need to get together with those people now because it's the holidays, there's a saying, hurt people hurt people. So a lot of times people get resentments or they get angry toward the people they feel hurt by. But my feeling is to feel compassion for those people. If you are around people that have been hurtful to you in the past, feel compassion for them rather than anger or resentment, because you'll feel better feeling the compassion. And it's a positive energy going out also, because a hurt person who hurts others isn't a happy person.
Right.
and, you know, feeling sorry for them, I'm not sure that's so positive. But when you feel compassion, it kind of opens your heart, and it just puts out a different energy into the universe and is sent forth to directed to that person.
Well, you spoke about at your workshop about an author of a book. You want to talk about that book? Just give us the name of the book.
Putting together a book club for after New Year's. And the author is Pema Chodron. And the book is Start Where You Are. She's a Buddhist nun, a quite famous teacher and author. And it's really about how to live your life in practical, simple ways, but in a more enlightened way, so that we don't get caught up and dragged into our emotions and limit our identity to just what we're thinking or what we're doing, but really who we are as human beings.
Is that the same concept that now they're bringing into a lot of corporations, the mindfulness?
Absolutely. Mindfulness is a concept that, I guess you could say, it comes from Buddhism, but it's yoga, really, yoga, because mindfulness is just being mindful, one-pointed in the moment, and that's what meditation helps to do, and various aspects of yoga. You know, a lot of times people just think of yoga as the physical exercises, but meditation is yoga, service is yoga, the postures, exercises of yoga. And also, there's even a yoga called Bhakti Yoga, which is love. It's the yoga of love, of the heart, mm-hmm. and of devotion. And it's a very beautiful aspect of life, really, and a piece of yoga. So there's various ways to come to that moment of mindfulness, of one-pointedness.
Because I know a lot of the big corporations are incorporating mm-hmm. that mindfulness and helping with their employees.
Right, because they're also stressed.
Because they're also stressed.
And, you know, when you're stressed, you have less of a clear mind, I think. So you're less productive.
Right, you're less productive. I am a family physician and been practicing for many years, and I have been moving my practice more towards, not just the holistic, but looking at the biochemical hormones in the patient's body, which influence our mind, our brains, mm-hmm. Our hearts. And there's so much information about balancing your hormones. Now, do we balance? There's ways to balance your hormones. Of course, against the cornerstone is having a good lifestyle, diet, and exercise. Don't abuse your body. It's very important. But at the same time, balancing, especially after women are in the menopause and as men get older, is balancing their hormones. And I've been working more and more with patients because I'm also a certified menopause specialist and a lipidologist, which that's why we changed the name of the show. But anyways, and I am working with more and more of my patients to balance all their hormones and help them and get a better overall picture to prevent the catastrophic, to prevent most of the illnesses we can prevent or heal before it becomes worse or it becomes disabling. So part of what my training is I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be doing hormone pellet therapy to help my patients to balance their hormones in a very simple manner. Dr. Katzen, we've been talking about that.
Right. We've been to a lot of meetings, and I think we're scheduled for a training session in January in Dallas.
In Dallas. So there is a lot of information that I'm going to be bringing to my audience, to my patients. But again, it's looking at the total patient, where they are now, because quite frankly, most people, especially in the 1600s and earlier, if you were 35 years old, you were considered old. Mm-hmm. Right. If you, most people didn't live most of their life almost after the menopause in women or after the age of 50. That was considered very old.
Well, remember in colonial times, 35 years was an old person.
Yes.
And so life expectancy, because of medicine and the good things that have come out of research, our life expectancy is longer than it was for our parents and our and certainly for our grandparents.
Except for this generation, and part of it is with the stress, you know, like the caller, Elliot, called about people, you know, are so stressed they have to have water all the time, all the chemicals, and childhood obesity, they really feel that that generation may actually live less than us.
I could see that.
So we're actually, with all our scientific information, there's something that we're missing.
There's something we're getting unhealthy.
We
may be living longer.
Yeah.
But I think we're not becoming healthier people.
So, and part of the Triana Prevention Centers, we want to have more good years. I want to be active. I tell my patients, I want to be practicing medicine, hopefully till the day my brain drops. You know, on the floor. I love what I do so much. I love learning. I love taking care of my patients. And having someone like you on the program who is bringing in more, there's got to be more out there that we need to look at.
Absolutely. Well, if we're going to improve society, it has to start with the kids in school. Mm-hmm. We have to start teaching those kids a little bit more how to handle stress and how to live.
Because
so many of them don't have a broken family, and right. They don't have that kind. The only model they have is that of a broken family, and they're preoccupied with that. And they can even within that milieu, with some training, and instruction, find comfort.
Mm. It's true.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say before the show ended that if anyone is interested in joining the book club, that they can call me for, again, I could give the name of the book and the author. My phone number is 845-548-3633, and we'll be reading from the book Start Where You Are.
I started reading it already.
Right. And it is a book of self-reflection. It's not necessarily a light read. It's a book of contemplation and self-reflection and of self-growth. That's the point of the book, not just reading a novel to take you out of yourself, but reading a book to bring you inside yourself.
It's not mindless, senseless entertainment that I.
No.
It's actually very reflective, and it. Because I was telling you, Carol, that I started. You read a couple of pages and you go, "Wait a minute! I have to really think about this." You have to think about yourself. It's not just like you're reading a story,
right.
But it's very good.
Let me. I have one question. What impact do you think television has had on societal stress? I mean, overall.
I think it's increased it because a lot of the programs and a lot of the movies in the theaters particularly, I think even more so the movies, have so much violence in them that I find it stressful to watch a lot of programs or I don't go to movies that are very violent or watch very violent programs on TV. Because that increases stress. I mean, how do you get a good night's sleep after watching violence and killing and blood and all these angry people attacking each other? You can't. You can't have a restful sleep after that. And all the video games that kids are playing now.
They're very violent.
It stimulates that part of the brain and the thinking process.
Doesn't that make violence more normal?
It normalizes violence, yes, which is probably why we're having more
desensitization.
School shootings, thinking it's okay to carry around, kids carrying around guns. And
And aren't we witnessing some of that socially around the country now?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
And wait a minute. This is Dr. Miller in his book has done research on this, scientific research. He plays like a scary movie, and he can see the resistance in the blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
He measures it, the vasoconstriction. And one of the things he did research on, too, laughter.
Oh, yes. Laughter
is
wonderful.
Just laughing. Laughing and how it relaxes, mm-hmm. how your biochemicals, your hormones all change. Laughter.
Just even smiling.
Yes.
Just changing the muscles in the face changes
well, we've
the
known
chemicals
that laughter's
in the body.
Been therapeutic for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah. My mom, I'm going to sound like Forrest Gump for a second, but my mom gave me the best advice of all. She said, with what you eat, we've already discussed, you are what you eat. So it is with the mind. If you put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out.
Uh-huh. Great advice. You
know, so it's that's like what she used to say.
We have a lot of chatter in the mind that's unnecessary.
We need to put positive things in, watch positive TV shows, listen to good music that promotes a positive message.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in that note, since we have just a few minutes to go, I want to say that this has been a great year. I want to thank everybody on listening to the show and spread it the word to your friends, to your family. We have these incredible guests like today, Carol Katz, who's been before, whose wisdom and knowledge is really beautiful. I really want to thank you.
Thank you
so much. And Dr. Katzen, who's been here, and one of my lady that people said, oh, I didn't know Dr. Katzen's your husband. He's a wonderful, beautiful human being, hardworking, brilliant. To have his expertise on the show, we've had Zane here every Friday giving of his time, his knowledge. He's just been great and mixing all these great commercials.
Yeah, I love this program so much, and I just want to say Merry Christmas to everyone, and Dr. Triana, Dr. Katz, and Dr. Katz. This has been a labor of love, and we're going to have many, many good years together.
Many, many more good years, more programs. I want everyone to have a wonderful holiday. And I think there's two things we need to remember. It's about God and it's about love. And I think the love that we have for each other as humans, as friends, love to our environment, to our fellow workers, this is should be every day, not just for the holidays. And I just want to tell everyone, thank you so much for, it's an honor to be able to bring to you this wonderful program. I love it. Everybody knows it. They tell me, oh, I can tell you love it. I love it. It's fun. And we're going to bring you more guests, more information. So God bless you. We'll be live again in the new year here to just make your world a little better, and God bless. Yeah. Oh. Okay, we have.
I just want to say a lot of times on holiday cards, we see joy, peace, happiness for the holidays. And I want to say that if you take a moment to really be quiet and still, that within the heart center or the heart chakra, which is an energy center in the subtle body, that there is absolute supreme peace in there. To take that moment to really feel it. Give that gift to yourself for the holidays and the new year, and it's a gift you can give to yourself at
WCCF,
any given moment.
Punta Gorda, Port Charlotte. Coming to you from the Grand Air Services Studios. Award-winning air conditioning, refrigeration, and appliance repair in Southwest Florida.